pray for you. And yes, Lord, we just want to thank you for Alex. Want to thank you for his faithful walk with you. And Lord, we pray for your anointing. We pray for your word to come out of his mouth. We pray for the anointing on each of us, that we hear what your Spirit has to say to us today. For the things of this week, for the troubles in our life, for the responsibilities you've given us. Lord, we want to hear your Spirit. For the guidance of your Spirit, Lord, as you shut doors and open doors and you nudge us into the right direction, Lord, we want to follow after you. And so today, as Alex brings your word to us, we pray for your powerful anointing over him, Lord, and on each of us, that we move with you. We want you exalted in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
From your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I was going to preach this sermon called How Have You Missed It? And I think Rob's going to preach it next week, so... It's funny, isn't it, how God kind of directs you, because at the last minute I said, no, this is the way I'm going to go, and God is good. Thanks for that confirmation. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start reading verse 19 in just one moment. On Fridays I've got this group of year 10s, and we're teaching them how to drive, watch how to get their learner's permit, and they can go for the exam in about 2 weeks' time. And what we're doing is we're going through, it's called Keys for Life program, teaching teens how to drive and all the different road rules. They have to go through the test. And so Friday's lesson was all about communication styles, different styles of communication. There was the aggressive communication, there was the passive communication, and there was the assertive communication. And so it was all leading to the type of instructor that you have. If they are an aggressive instructor or an aggressive driver, it's not really good. And you need to have a very patient, very assertive driving instructor. And so I thank God that I had one of those when I started to learn how to drive. It was patience personified. And I think he got me through the license. I think it's very different to when I was teaching my girls how to drive. Laugh, because maybe some of you have been in the same place, especially girls. No, I shouldn't. Too soon. Okay. Encouragement and being an encourager makes a huge difference, let alone driving. What about life? We need encouragement. Never a time. We're living in a time where we should be embodying the spirit of encouragement. There's never a time like this. Think about it. 2020. What does 2020 look like? It's a crazy time, isn't it? And people need encouragement as opposed to, you know, bad things are going to happen and, oh, the economy's going to go down. And, you know, the news is kind of like any bad thing that can happen, it'll communicate that to you. And sometimes, you know, I've been following the COVID thing on SBS, After Mastermind, my favourite show. And so, just like, you know, the deaths that were going up, they were showing the graphs, and, you know, it's like, my goodness me, is there any good news? The point now, where COVID's gone bubble, now it's all these riots and all these things, and all these protests and all these horrible things that are happening. I need some encouraging news. I need some encouragement. Because people are living in fear and anxiety. It's an uncertain future. Even God's people need encouragement. Some of you are just...
Speak, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Some of you are just one decision away from going crazy.
Hang on, sorry, my OCD is just playing havoc here. I need to balance, sorry.
Fact is, people are fragile. Despite the facade of self-sufficiency. So in our text, I've chosen it specifically because it's a community of believers that are facing an uncertain future. Does that sound familiar? They're facing an uncertain future. They're challenged to leave the past traditions and past lifestyle that they've known for centuries to this new thing called Christianity, to this new saviour called Christ, these better promises that are alluded to the gospel, and the temptation is to defer, the temptation is to play it safe, the temptation is to go back to what is familiar. And so this letter to the Hebrews is a word of encouragement to press on. The language, the imagery is one of encouragement to a discouraged people. So this is one of the climaxes towards the end of the book, Hebrews chapter 9. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What a more apt scripture for us today. Our text says that encouragement must begin with our confidence in God. This is a climactic theological passage. It's building up with a glorious conclusion. Verse 19 says, we have confidence to approach God's presence because Jesus has made the way. We're not talking about a cowering presence, but a bold confidence to approach the throne of grace. Think about it for a moment. This is the God of the Old Testament who basically says, put a fence around the mountain, don't go near it, lest you die. This is the God, the same God, who, you know, just his presence causes tremendous things to happen. And so this is the same God. Through Jesus, we can actually boldly approach the throne room of grace. Do you know what it takes to meet the Queen today? You just can't go, hi Liz, dropped in for a cup of tea. You can't do that. Alone the God of heaven, we have this bold confidence to approach the throne room of grace. Verse 21, Jesus, the high priest, has given us access to God. Verse 22, draw near, literally come close. This is the language of intimacy. There is an encouragement to draw near. And verse 23, hold fast to that confession or stand firm in the confidence in truth. See, all this theology is not designed to overwhelm us. Sometimes theology, you know, is overwhelming. It's not designed, it's to build confidence. See, know who Christ is and what he has done for us is the foundation stone of confidence in God, which then flows the spirit of encouragement. So the reason why many are discouraged today is because they are blissfully ignorant of some of the basic truths of the Bible. See, what gives me confidence, what gives me the foundation confidence, is that I have a faith that God has prepared a way for me, And can I encourage you, can I remind you this morning that you can approach the throne room of God boldly. You can actually gain access to the presence of God. We have done that hopefully this morning through our worship. Christian life is never meant to be founded on feelings. Oh, I feel God today. Oh, I don't feel God today. Things that we see. Because the fact is, the things that we see breed uncertainty. Our confidence is in faith in God's promises. See, Hebrews chapter 6 says to move beyond, there's an encouragement earlier on, to move beyond the elementary teachings of Christ, to move to maturity. And the whole book goes from just teaching and encouraging all the way up to chapter 11, the great faith chapter, to cause people to lift up their faith, not to cause them to go back to familiarity, but to move on to this new and living way. So the first thing we need is an understanding or just an appreciation of what God has done for us, some basic theology, that we can approach the throne room of heaven with confidence. So another reason why people get discouraged is they are forgetful of God's promises. Not only ignorant, but also forgetful. You may know, you may have scripture memory, but sometimes you forget what God has done. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "You have forgotten the encouragement that speaks to you as sons." He's quoting the wisdom of Solomon there. That whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he rebukes. And that great wisdom. And so he's quoting the wisdom of Proverbs and says, you've forgotten the encouragement that speaks to you as sons. God is not abandoning you. You're not illegitimate. You are legitimate sons and daughters of God. And sometimes we forget that. So the fact is you can encourage. You can't be an encourager if you're not encouraged yourself. That David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord before he regained all. There was a season in his life when all went pear-shaped. And he encouraged himself. And the way I believe he did that is through the Psalms, which is a personal diary, a personal record of God's faithfulness. I was just listening to a podcast where, you know, he says, just talked about the Psalms in general. He says the Psalms, you can summarize in three words. It's a record of please God, can you change things? Thank you, God, thankfulness and appreciation. And sorry, those three words, please, thank you and sorry, are a summary of the Psalms. And I taught that to my mentor group, my Year 10 mentor group. I said, three words I want to teach you. Please, thank you and sorry. Joshua is about to take the promised land. Three times God says, be of good courage. He's looking at the overwhelming nature of what he's about to undertake. He's looking at what Moses has just passed away. He's looking at what he has to do and the gigantic figure that Moses was. And he's looking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And God says, be of good courage. Be courageous. And it's no accident, he's linking this. So how is he going to maintain courage? He says, on this word, Joshua chapter 1:8, on this word you will meditate day and night. There's something about encouraging yourself in the word. How do you encourage yourself? How do you remember God's faithfulness? And hopefully some of you in the olden days before electronics, you had this Bible which you highlighted. Remember the highlighting, different coloured highlightings, you know. Red meant the blood of Christ and then blue meant heaven. And I don't know, you didn't had different schemes. You know, I had the wide margin Bible or wrote things down by the side. How do you encourage yourself? How do you remember these words of encouragement? Maybe through journaling. For me at the present time, just driving to school or riding to school, I'm riding to school at the moment with my electric bike, thank you Jesus. It takes me about half an hour, 35 minutes, just enough time for either a podcast or a sermon or a passage from the Word of God, and I take that and I meditate upon that as I go along. I meditate upon it and I discuss it with friends at school to remind myself what the Bible's actually talking about and to practice those things. Encouragement this morning is more than just a smile and a slap on the back. Encouragement is a spirit. In the Bible, in John chapters 14 and chapter 16, Jesus reveals the ministry of the Holy Spirit through his name. The name of the Holy Spirit, one of his names and his functions, is the encourager. Parakletos. You know that, don't you? Para, next to, kletos, comforter. So that means to stand alongside, to draw near. When someone's near you. One of the worst things about social distancing is that we can't be near each other. Some of you are breaking the law. Because there's something about people being near. There's something about nearness. And when God is near you, man, that is confidence personified. Knowing that God is near you. Jesus' promise to us is that he will never leave us or forsake us. How many of you have still got that palm footprints? We all know footprints, don't we? You know, where were you, God? Where were you? I was carrying you. One set of footprints. Where were you? I was carrying you. That was my footprints. Discouraged. I mean, we need to know that someone's with us. And when you're encouraged, we have this sense of the Spirit of God being alongside us, comforting us and guiding us. How many times have I heard when people going through trials, I just felt this presence. I just felt that God was with us, you know, that we're going through this difficult time. And I felt your prayers. I felt prayers of the people, of the saints of God. What was all that about? It's the Spirit of God comforting us, encouraging us. The word encourage itself means to inspire courage, to encourage, inspire us with a new faith and new hope. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when encouragement is taking place, I can guarantee it's the evidence of the Spirit of God at work. It's beyond just a slap on the back and she'll be right, mate. It is the Spirit of God. God's presence is there. First words of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you're empty, you are blessed. Why is that? Because the resource of encouragement of the Spirit of God is available. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The resources of heaven are available to you because you're empty. If you're empty of yourself, then you've got room for the Holy Spirit to be in there. That spirit of encouragement is not only released in an individual, but a group of people. There's no limit what we can do as a church. I live in a competitive world. A world of winners and losers. Be it sport, be it relationships, be it education, be it life. There's winners and losers. You know, at school we have these awards, academic awards, excellence awards, sporting, usually sporting. There's no maths awards. It's always sporting. Sporting, that's what it is. Or academic. Sporting or academic, that's what it is. There's also this thing called the encouragement award. And what the encouragement award literally is, just don't feel bad for losing award. You just suffer the blow of failure. It's the encouragement award, isn't it? Here's the encouragement award. You didn't... we have to write these things about, you know, you're just dumb. You're just really below. But here's the thank you for trying award. Can't tell you, that's the world. That's the way the world sees encouragement. You're at the lowest of the low. You're not really good at anything, but here's an encouragement to help. Here's a little certificate to help you along in life. And kids know that. That's the thing. You know, in church, it's the only institution where there's no losers. We're all in the same boat. As a matter of fact, the lower you are, the more susceptible you are to encouragement, to receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the losers. They receive the most encouragement.
The woman that came into Simon's house. Remember the woman that came washing Jesus' feet with her tears?
And Jesus basically had to teach him a lesson. This woman loves much because she's been forgiven much. The reason why she's encouraged, the reason why she feels the way she does, is because there's the spirit of encouragement all over her. If you're a new convert, or you've been saved for decades, we all need encouragement. Don't be too proud to admit your need for encouragement, or too proud to receive encouragement. No, it's not wrong. It's the Aussie way of that. Sure, she'll be right. Thanks, mate. It's all good. Sometimes I just need to say, I just need a hug. I just need some encouragement. The Spirit doesn't abandon the broken for the new. Isaiah 42 verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Aren't you glad about that? Hover over the broken lives and over your chaos, and he'll birth something new. Can you allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you today? I want to finish by talking about ministering encouragement, because in verse 24, the reason for encouragement is to stir up love and good works in others. Yeah, we do need a hug, we do need encouragement, but there's a reason for that. It's a means to an end. When we are encouraged, we are then to go and encourage others. That's the way it works. It's not like, oh, I just need encouragement. Thank you, I've received encouragement. Go home and just eat up that encouragement, use up that encouragement, and then come back next Sunday, whatever. I need more encouragement. It doesn't work that way. That's how a drug addict operates. I need more. It's not just one way. It's not like the Dead Sea. We just have flowing of encouragement and that's it. Just stays there. It has to flow out. Encouragement is not just for you. You are encouraged in order to encourage others. That word stir up is an interesting word. It's the word paroxysmos. You know, the Holy Spirit is parakletos. Next to, the word stir up is para, next to, xismos is an interesting Greek word. I know it as, it's scratchy, it's like, that's xismos. Robin, can you get that there? I can't reach the xismos, it's an irritation. But the word, it's irritate, next to irritation. Is that kind of bringing a mental image of what stir up means? It means provoke. It means prod along. You know, encouragement can take two forms. Come on, you can do this. Or if you don't do this, I'm going to beat you with a stick. Encouragement best happens here in our text in the context of church. In verse 25, it says, encouragement is the most effective when the whole church is involved. Don't neglect meeting with one another, as is the habit of some. Why weren't people coming along to church? Because they were discouraged. And they didn't think that we could get encouragement from church. When the whole church is involved, there is an atmosphere that can only be created in church. I really appreciate what's happening this morning, the worship. You know, I sing songs in the car on my own. I praise and worship, and you know, and but there's something powerful about "Great is Thy" and the Hammond just goes there and just resonates with something. It's just like, you know, it just, when the whole thing kind of works together, I feel like I've connected with God. It's different in our church, different styles, but the thing is, it's the same spirit of encouragement when the whole church. People do things differently. It's okay. But when you come together as a church, There's something powerful that happens when you cannot do this on your own. That's why it's important to meet together. That's why I'm glad we're here together as a church in this conditions. You know, I thank God for Zoom and podcasts, and for a season it was kind of novel, wasn't it? Log up and listen to it, but it's not the same, is it? It's not the same. And that's what this text is talking about there. Same dynamic in the prayer meeting. Same dynamic in the worship. Never underestimate the power of the church service. Never underestimate the power of what is going on right now. Crazy man with a weird shirt, yelling at you, just spitting and carrying on. And somehow, in those words, you are provoked. You are encouraged, uplifted, rebuked. Church service is a great opportunity not only to be encouraged, but also to mutually encourage one another. You know, there's a great vibe, there's a great chemistry, and we all come together when the attitude is not just about me, but it's about others. How many of you have been discouraged? I'm not going to church. But you make the effort to come to church, and as a result of coming to church, you got encouraged. How many of you have done that kind of situation? Yeah. Countless times. Countless times. And encouragement should not just be confined to these four walls. Thank God for what happens here. Thank God for worship and prayer and being encouraged. But what you have freely received here this morning, it needs to go out to every corner where you people live and work and do life. It's meaningless if all the encouragement that takes place is just here, these four walls. That'd be a horrible scene, wouldn't it? The only encouraged people in the world are Christians, and we just keep it to ourselves. My main, you know, struggles is, you know, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? And, you know, what's my calling in life? My calling, I've resolved to do this very, very simple thing, is to be discipled, to receive instruction from my podcasts and my sermons and my reading of the Word, and be encouraging myself. And then to somehow encourage others in my primary workplace, which is the school. That's to be discipled and to disciple. Discipling meaning that I'm there to encourage. So one of the examples of this, Friday, last period, maths. Friday, last period, period six, maths. Not a good scene. Year nines, 30 of them. 30 of the little suckers. Anyway, I've managed to get some sort of control over the guy. Thank you, COVID, because now I've got my seating arrangements just the way I've wanted it right from day one. They're all sitting in test conditions until Jesus returns, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, we're off stage 15 restrictions now. Everything. No, there could be a case here. No, I'm keeping it safe. I'm keeping it there until I retire. That's going to stay in test conditions. That's number one. Thank you, COVID, for that. Okay. Anyway, there's a little girl called Claudia. Sitting, I've had to sit her at the front because she's always distracted, always distracting. And so it came to a point, so halfway through the lesson, there was working quite well. I says, "Oh, sir, can you please write a letter so I can go down to standard? I don't like advanced. I don't like being an advanced maths." And I looked at her. I said, "Claudia, it's not an accident you're in advanced. You're here, you know, you're not just here by accident. You obviously can show some sort of aptitude in maths. I reckon for the last few weeks, you know, you've just been, you don't want to do the work. And so you come in, you've been distracted, you're distracting others. I guarantee if you just knuckle down, I want you to use this weekend to think about this decision, knuckle down, and if you make a decision to actually come to class and do the work and listen to me and not be distracted, I reckon you can do the work, and you're actually going to enjoy it." And And she took those on board. I'll find out what happens on Monday. I'll let you know next time I see you. But because it's much easier to fool around. Well, I don't want to do the work. I'm just going to muck around and I'm just going to fail. And so I just want to be that. No, Claude, you're not a standard person. Back in my day, they were called ordinary or elementary. Ordinary and elementary maths. What are you? I'm just an ordinary maths person, you know. Now it's standard. Advanced has always been advanced. Basics turn to general. What are you? I'm in basic maths. I had to change that one. I am discipling this girl. The easiest thing for me, no problems. I'll just write a letter, you're down the stand. Done, out of my hair, no problems. But I see potential in this girl. As with the three of them I had sitting in the front of me, I see potential in all these. And so my job is to disciple them. It's not just to dispense mathematical information and just, you know, if you don't pass, it's your fault. It is to use maths, it's a means to an end, to disciple these kids' lives, to shape them somehow, to speak a word of encouragement. You know what? Period six maths on a Friday suddenly makes much more sense. I'm really looking forward to every single lesson, every single period, because I'm there to shape and mould and encourage in the same way that I've been discouraged. There have been times where I've been discouraged and it hasn't kind of worked. But I am there to encourage myself in order to encourage them, to uplift them, to cause them to go into the purposes of God. We're all called to the ministry of encouragement. We're all called to stir up, to paroxysos, which means to stir up, to encourage, to provoke, to rebuke sometimes, a sharp word. And it begins with our confidence in God. Firstly, let's not be ignorant of what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us. Let's not be ignorant of some basic theology. We can actually enter into the throne room of grace and ask for grace and mercy. We can do this because of what Jesus has done. That's what this text says. Let's not be forgetful of God's promises. You can be a gun theology person, but you can forget things so easily. And out of the encouragement that you and I receive in church, through each other, as Christians, mutual encouragement, we are to go to a lost world and to encourage them to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Simple as that. Doesn't get any more simple than that. Do you agree? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let us consider, let us think about, ponder how we may spur on, provoke one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we encourage each other? Mutually encourage each other, especially, says, as you see the day approaching. If they're looking at the day, then how much more should we be looking at the day when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom? We're in those days right now. We need encouragement. We need to encourage. So a very, very simple challenge this morning. If you're discouraged, you see the things around you, and listen, sometimes the most discouraged people are Christians because your faith is being tested. Your faith has been brought to almost breaking point. Psalms, how long, O Lord? Please, God, just change this. Can we just see something change? It seems like this whole... Where are your promises? Wasn't, David says, until I went to the house of God, I understood their end. In other words, thank you, God, that you have a plan. It's like I was looking at from... I almost slipped. It wasn't until I went to the house of God that I understood that you have a purpose, that we are a part of that purpose. As we encourage each other through just basic knowledge, basic doctrines, basic understanding of the Word of God. Can I challenge you to encourage yourself if you are discouraged? Read your Bible. Go back to those highlighted passages. Listen to a sermon. Talk to someone. Just to encourage yourself in order for you to be an encouragement in your workplace. You know, there's nothing more disillusioning to sinners than discouraged Christians. There's seasons. I'm talking about a general disposition of discouragement. You need to be an encouragement. You need to... The joy of the Lord needs to be your strength, especially in a public place. Can I challenge you to encourage yourself, and secondly, to be an encourager, to be a disciple maker, to stir people up, if they're not saved, to work on them, to pray for them. Spend a couple of minutes just praying and asking the Holy Spirit to stand alongside of us, come alongside and encourage us, and to give us strategy for encouragement in our spheres of influence. Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you that you are the Lord who encourages us. We finish. Can we sing that song? Is it all right to sing that song, Cornerstone? Because I think it's just some fantastic theology there, the foundation of our faith, the cornerstone, Jesus, and we'll call it a day. Thanks for that.